just to look at. As we mentioned this morning, want to preach upon God's solemn warning. And you find that solemn warning in the latter part of verse number 7 and the beginning of verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter number 3, where it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, the people to whom these words were addressed were those who had been saved from a Jewish background. And in this chapter here before us, these Hebrew believers were being shown the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ over Moses, who was the great lawgiver in the Old Testament time of Israel. Look at verse number 3, you'll see that coming across, where it says, "For this man," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house have more honor than the house." Now, the reason for this message about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ is because the Jews themselves were a people who took great pride in their past privileges as a nation, as a people. They were a people who thought much of their prophets in the past, their high priests, and indeed Moses. And they were people who even prided themselves in the very fact that they were a nation that had been visited by the angels of God. But here in this chapter before us, they were being told and shown that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was far greater than all these. My, greater than Moses, greater than the prophets, greater than their past history, greater than the visitation of any angels in a bygone day. And my being one, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was far superior, then his voice was to be heard. Indeed, his word was to be heard, and it was to be heeded above and beyond the voice of everyone else. That's really what is being emphasized here in our text this evening in verses 7 and verses 8 of the chapter. When it says, "Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." You see, at this particular time, these Hebrew believers to whom the writer is addressing here, they were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. Pressure was being put upon them from outside, as it were, for them to go back from Christ. Pressure was being put upon them to depart from the Word of God and depart from the ways of God and to leave behind the gospel and go back again to an embracing of Judaism. Therefore, these words here in verses 7 and 8 are given. They're given with the purpose of exhorting them to follow on after the Lord. These words are given here with the purpose of exhorting them not to turn back from God, not to turn back from his word and following after Christ as they had set out in faith as so to do. And to reinforce this exhortation, the writer here tells of how ancient Israel perished in the wilderness. And they were not able to enter into the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief, because they would not hearken to the word of God. If you look in particular here at verses 8 to 11 of the chapter, you'll see there that the writer is actually quoting what God said about this matter from Psalm 95 regarding Israel in the past. Look at what is said there in verses 7 to 11. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." And my, it was all due to ancient Israel's unbelief and indeed procrastination that God judged them. And they could not enter into the promised land of Canaan. Look at the very final verse of the chapter. You'll see that. Verse 19, it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And my, just as ancient Israel needed to heed God's voice if they were to enter into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And indeed, just as these Hebrew Christians of the New Testament needed to hearken to God's word if they were to go on with God and if they were to enter into the fullness of the blessing that God had for them. So it must also be said and emphasized in the gospel that every sinner likewise must heed God's voice. They must heed the word of God. If they too are to enter into all the blessings of God's so great salvation and be saved from their sin and be right with God and saved from a lost eternity in hell and made sure of heaven. And dear people, this evening it is because of this all-important reason that I want us then to consider in this gospel meeting tonight, this solemn warning here that is outlined in our text. Verses 7 and 8, when it says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. There are three things I want you to notice in this solemn warning. You'll notice that it speaks here to us about a special duty. And that special duty is found at the end of verse number 7, where it says, if ye will hear his voice. Notice those words, if you will hear his voice. And those words would teach us that every sinner has a duty. And what is that duty pertaining to every sinner? Every sinner has a duty to heed and to hearken to the voice of God in the gospel. And if you are not saved in the meeting tonight, that is your duty before God in relation to the gospel. It is to hearken and to heed to the word of God in the gospel. It must be said that the Lord has different ways of speaking to the sinner. You see that illustrated and described for you in the Bible. My, we are told that God can speak to men through the very greatness of his creation that he has made in this world. Does not the psalmist tell you and I that in Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2? Where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night as showeth knowledge. You think of the light of day. Does it not remind you of the light of God's salvation? What which Christ can bring to sinful hearts that are darkened through sin? Also, when you think of the darkness of the night, does that not speak to you and I of the awful darkness and depravity and shame of sin that affects every person's life? Does the darkness of the night not only also speak to you and I about that place of outer darkness, everlasting punishment and judgment for man's sin in that place which the Bible calls hell? Therefore, friend, as you would think tonight about the greatness of God's creation, realize this in your heart, that there is a God in heaven with whom you and I have to do. My, there's a God in heaven to whom you must give account to of your life to one day. Does not the Bible say, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God? Oh, that you would consider even the speaking voice of God in his creation tonight. But also we can say further this evening that God also speaks to the sinner by the voice of his providence. You see, the Lord uses trouble. He uses sorrow. He uses sickness. He uses trials. He uses loss to speak to sinners. He uses such things to draw them to himself for salvation. You have a wonderful example of that at that time when ever Lazarus died in Bethany and rose again, was raised to life. The Bible says this, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And through the death of Lazarus and through his rising again, there were those who believed on Christ, who were drawn to Christ for salvation. Dear friend, in our meeting, is it the case that God perhaps has been speaking to you at this particular time in your life through his providence, through the hand of God's providence, through his providential dealings and circumstances in your life, maybe through trial or loss or suffering? You've been reminded as never before of your need of God and your need of God's salvation in your life. Perhaps through these things you have been reminded that there is a heaven for you to gain, and there is a hell for you to shun. Through God's providence and his dealings with you in life, you have been reminded personally of your need for you to repent of your sin and your need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. I remember some years ago hearing a brother in the Lord giving a word of testimony. And in his testimony, he related how as a young man it was when his young daughter was seriously ill in the Royal Victoria Hospital as a little baby, that God used that to bring him to the Lord and to bring him to that place of salvation in Christ. The Lord spoke to him mightily and powerfully through that. Tell me, has the Lord been speaking through the hand of providence to your soul about your personal need of God's salvation? Then it must also be said that God speaks through his word. Through a supernatural revelation of his own inspired word, which is the Holy Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn the page in your Bible tonight over to Hebrews chapter 4. And look with me there at verse number 12. And there you see the power of the word of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There you see the very power of the word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And God has decreed, and God is so blessed that it pierces right into the very marrow of our hearts, right into the very deepest recesses of our hearts and of our beings. God uses his word, the Bible, to speak to hearts, to speak to sinners. He says his word will not return unto him void. He says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He blesses his word and he speaks through his word. You remember what Paul said to the Corinthians about the word of God and what was recorded in the scriptures? He says, now all these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And that word admonition really means to put into the mind. And it shows us that God's word has been written for that purpose, that it might enter our hearts, that it might enter our minds and enter into the very deepest recess of our soul. My, it's by reading the Bible, indeed it is by hearing it preached, that God speaks. And God speaks to your heart and my heart about our great need of salvation from sin through faith in the atoning death and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of what is written in John chapter 3. The verse number 16, you think of that great gospel verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My commenting upon this verse, Martin Luther, the reformer, said it was the gospel in the nutshell. My, that verse, it tells you what? It tells you that you must trust in Christ personally. that you must trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin. That's what that verse tells you to do. That is what you must do as a sinner. You must trust in Christ if you are to obtain everlasting life and enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and God's salvation in your soul. This is the message of God throughout the Bible. And I tell you this, it is a message you must heed if you are to be saved. I want to ask you a question tonight, and the question is this: whose voice are you listening to tonight in this gospel meeting? Is it the voice of unbelief? Is it the voice of the devil? Is it the voice of the world? Or is it the voice of God and His Word? Oh, if you are to be saved, if you are to be right with God, you must turn away from all these other voices, wherever they come from, whoever they are. And you must listen to God. You must listen to the Word of God. And what does the voice of God say in the gospel? It says to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What does our text again say there in Hebrews chapter number 3? And the verse number 7 at the end of that verse, it says, if ye will hear His voice, the voice of God, the Word of God. Oh, that is your duty. If you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, oh, that you would hearken to the voice of God in the gospel. Yes, this warning speaks of a special duty. Notice something else here in this warning. It speaks also of a special danger. And you read of that danger there at the beginning of verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter number 3. Notice what it says. It says, harden not your hearts. That's the danger that's mentioned here. Harden not your hearts. And by the hardening of the heart is the inevitable danger that faces every sinner who continually resists God's voice, that voice that calls them to Christ for salvation. What a danger it is. The mention there of that little word if there in verse number 7, it reinforces this truth. It says there, if ye will hear His voice. And this tells us, yes, there are some, and they will listen to God, they will hearken to God's voice, but then there are others. They will not heed God's voice. They will not hearken to the Word of the Lord. You have an example of that in John chapter 5. There Christ was speaking to certain Jews, religious people, who resisted the voice of God to come to Christ for salvation. And what did the Lord say to them? He said, but ye will not come to me that you might have life. The reason they would not come to Him and be saved was because they had hardened their heart against Christ, against the Son of God. I wonder, is God saying that to some soul in the meeting tonight? Ye will not come to me that you might have life. I trust not. That word harden there in our text there, it means to be obstinate. It means to be stubborn. It means to be intractable. In other words, it portrays the heart of every man, every woman, every young person who refuses God's Word and who refuses the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And my, it pictures one who will perish in their sin because they have deliberately rejected Christ as the only remedy for their sin-sick soul. And my, it's an awful thing for an individual to refuse the gospel, to refuse Christ, and to turn their back upon God's free offer of salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awful thing for one to harden their heart against the Lord. You read through the Bible, you'll see examples of that in Scripture. In the book of Exodus, you read about Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, man of great power, man of great wealth. And he saw the mighty works of God in his day. He heard the voice of God God's servant Moses spoke to him, and Aaron witnessed to him. He saw the mighty plagues of God in Egypt, and he heard the voice of God. And what did Pharaoh say? He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Despite seeing the mighty acts of God and hearing the word of God, he would not listen. He thought he knew better than God. What does it say in the book of Proverbs? "He that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And those words were literally fulfilled in the life of Pharaoh when he and his soldiers were drowned in the watery grave of the Red Sea because they would not listen to the voice of God. They hardened their heart against God. I think of another man tonight, Belshazzar, another king. God spoke to him. God wrote upon the wall of the very banqueting house where he was, "Mene, mene, tekel, art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting." But you never read of Belshazzar humbling his heart before the Lord. You never read of Belshazzar seeking the Lord for mercy and for salvation. Yes, he trembled, but he hardened his heart. What does it say about Belshazzar on that very night that God had spoken to him? Was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain? You see, it's an awful thing to trifle with God. It's a fearful thing for a soul to harden their heart against the Lord. Oh, I'm seeing a friend in our meeting tonight. Heed the warning voice of Scripture. Heed what it says on our text tonight. Harden not your heart. In other words, do not go on in your sin. Do not go on refusing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do not go on refusing to repent of your sin. Do not go on hardening your heart against the Lord. For if you do, then you will never enter into the rest of God's so great salvation. That's the fearful consequences of hardening your heart against God. If you go on in your sin and continue to willfully harden your heart against Christ, then a time may well come in your life's experience when God will cease to speak to you, when God will speak no more, and when God will leave you to perish in your sin. That's the warning of Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. What does God say in that verse? He says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." God does strive with man. God does strive with hearts. But there he warns you that a time may well come when he'll cease to strive. He will cease to speak to your heart, cease to speak to your soul. You see, it's an awful thing, it's a fearful thing to harden your heart against the Lord. Wilbur Chapman, that evangelist of a bygone day, he tells of a student at Princeton University in America who was greatly concerned about his sin, greatly concerned about his need of Christ, his Savior. It was a time of great blessing, a time of revival, really, when God was moving in that area at that time. However, at that time, that young man, that young student would not yield to Christ. He would not come unto Christ and trust him as Savior. And it is a stated fact that he never again showed any desire to be a Christian. No longer had any longings in his heart after the things of God. You see, what happened was the Spirit of God ceased to strive with his heart. Where that deadline is, I don't know. No preacher knows. Only God knows. God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." I remember during our ministry down in Convoy in County Donegal was a lady, a middle-aged lady who came regularly to our meetings, our gospel meetings. And she was concerned about her soul. I had spoken to her in her home on a number of occasions about her need of salvation. And I remember her one night coming to a harvest meeting, and that night the preacher, he preached on Cain, the first apostate in the Bible, the man who rejected the, the blood offering for salvation. And she was greatly troubled and concerned in that meeting. There was a large crowd there that night, and people had tea and supper, and they left, but she stayed on. And she spoke to the preacher that night for great length. And he counseled her the best he could to come to Christ, to trust Christ, to seek Christ there and then that very night for salvation. But she would not. She went out of that meeting without the Lord. And you know, you could just see it happening by degrees after that. That woman's interest in the things of God began to wane, and began to become less and less and less. And she no longer really showed any interest in the gospel, in the things of God. It's a sad fact that God will speak, but God will cease to speak. Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, may this not be the case with you. Do not let anyone or anything harden your heart against Christ and cause you to turn away from the speaking voice of Christ that calls you to Him for salvation. Don't let the fear of man hold you back. Please understand that the longer you go on in your sin, the harder your heart will become, and will become the more difficult for you to be saved. In the book of Proverbs, God has a very solemn message to those who would harden their heart against Christ. In that verse, He says these words. He says, "They shall call upon Me, but I will not answer." What an awful statement from the Word of the Lord Himself. God is saying that a time may come when those who have hardened their heart against Him, yes, they may show an interest, they may seek the Lord, but they'll not be saved because they've hardened their heart against Christ in the past. God's day of opportunity for them is over. It's gone. Oh, beware of the awful consequence of hardening your heart against Christ. Notice one final thing here in our text this evening. It speaks also of a special time. And that time we'll find there at the beginning of our text in verse number 7, where it says, "Today." Today, if you will hear His voice, when it comes to salvation, God only speaks of one time for the sinner, and that time is today. In other words, today, tonight, is a time for you to be saved. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, tonight, is the time for you to be saved, to get right with God. Because this day, this night, is the only time that you are guaranteed. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Perhaps you say, "I'll get saved tomorrow." But how do you know that you will ever see tomorrow? This very night, death may come your way, and this very night, your soul may be required of thee. Think of the brevity of life. Think of the suddenness of death. You may put off your salvation to another day. But if death comes, then your soul shall be lost in hell forever. And it shall be forever too late for you to be saved. There's a story told of men who were building a bridge over a rocky chasm in the United States of America. And before that bridge was safely finished, they ceased working for a while with the hope of completing the task on another occasion. But before that other time could come, a great storm passed through that chasm and swept the unfinished bridge, the unfinished work, away. And all the past labor of those men was lost. It was in vain. Why was it lost? Why was it in vain? It was lost because they had put off the day of opportunity for them to work. They'd neglected their time. And friend, is there not a lesson here for you in this, in the gospel, regarding your soul, regarding your salvation? You may say, "Yes, I'll get saved at another time. I'll get saved on another occasion." Your response to the gospel may be like Felix of old, the Roman governor, who said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You may think that there will be a more convenient season for you. What if the storm of death comes upon you? Comes upon you suddenly and swiftly. Unsaved, you'll be lost in hell forever. You'll be like that rich man that Christ warned you of in Luke 16 who died. And Christ says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. There Christ warned you of the brevity of life, the certainty of death, and the awfulness of an eternity without Christ. Oh, in closing, I would say to you tonight, do not be foolish about this all-important matter of your soul salvation. Heed the gospel message, that message that urges you personally to repent of your sin, urges you personally to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him for your salvation. Does not the Bible say, seek ye the Lord while He may be found? Call ye upon Him while He's near. Perhaps you say tonight, how do I come to Christ? How can I be saved? Well, you come to Him just as you are. You ask Him to save you by faith. You ask Him to cleanse away your sin by His precious blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. The hymn writer says, I'm coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. The Lord invites you to come. He says, Him that cometh to me, that I will in no wise cast out. At the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, you see a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you read these tremendous words. It says, they came to Him from every quarter, from all different places and backgrounds. They came unto Christ. Oh, follow their example. Come to Him tonight. Trust Him as your own and personal Savior. And in doing so, you'll find pardon for all your sin. You'll find peace with God. You'll find rest for your soul. You'll find the assurance of everlasting life and a home in heaven. And may it will be well with your soul for time and for eternity. Oh, listen tonight to this little text. Today, tonight, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart against the Lord. If you're not saved in this meeting, come now tonight to Christ. Accept Him by faith as your Savior. And have your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. Be saved by God's grace for all of eternity. We're going to close our meeting tonight.